You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us once again here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and welcome to September. And, you know, a lot of times we talk about the heat in August, but sometimes September has a tendency to have a lot of named storms out there. So we want to make sure that we make the most of the opportunity that we have and represent Jesus well, and make sure we pray that we have good weather during the month of September. And so we are blessed to live in Brevard County. I was talking with some of my family. They live in the central part of the United States. And we were talking about electric bills, and it started off with having a conversation with my dad, and I know how hot he keeps his house. Too hot, in case you were wondering, for me. And little side note there, one point in time he used to tease my grandparents about how hot they kept their house, which is exactly the same temperature he keeps his house at now. He was talking about his electric bill, and it's higher than ours, and he keeps his house warmer than ours. And then my brother said, oh, that's nothing, mine's higher than that. I talked to my sister, and hers was more than a car payment. And I was like, wow, that is really crazy. One of the ways that you can help reduce that electric bill is make sure that your AC is an efficient air conditioning unit. And if you are looking for resources that could guide you in ways that you could help lower your electric bill and make sure that your AC is up and working during this very warm time of year, thankfully fall is on the way. But Wyrick Air is based in Rockledge, Florida. They're friends of the Refresh radio program. Pastor Dennis and his team have been providing professional sales and services and repairs in air conditioning and heating for over 50 years. Primarily, they focus on residential, but they do some light commercial work, such as Merritt Assembly of God. They even provide emergency service when necessary. And I can't tell you the peace of mind that it brings me knowing that whatever they I'm having them work on, that they are competent at what they do, they're efficient at what they do, and they're going to treat us in a cost-effective manner. They're not looking to gouge anybody. They provide a great service at a good value, and I'm thankful that they're friends of the Refresh radio program. Their goal is to provide the best service possible at an affordable price. If you're looking for an AC and heating company that will treat you with respect and not make a victim out of you, Wyrick Air may be the great resource for you to consider. They are based in Rockledge. They travel all throughout Brevard County. Their phone number is 321-632-9538, and their license number is CAC182-1309. We thank them once again. Great, great people. And not only do we recommend their business, but we love them dearly as individuals as well. So praise the Lord. This morning we're going to move to a new portion in the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've already talked about 1 Corinthians 13, so I'm not going to go into a verse by verse teaching of this, because we've already been that. We're looking at that followers of Jesus should be people who love biblically. So over the past several programs, we had been talking about that because we love God, there are things that God has prepared for us. So let me just say this. I don't know that I've said it like this before, that if you have not made the decision to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you are missing out on some of the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. You haven't seen it. You haven't heard it. It hadn't even entered your heart. God has better things in store for us than what we could ever provide for ourselves. And you don't want to miss that. So I would encourage you to say yes to Jesus as your Savior, yes to loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, and watch what wonderful spiritual blessings that God has in store for you. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is known as the love chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. So let me just give a brief synopsis here. Paul is writing and is talking about that a person could actually be functioning with some of the activities and services or ministries that a Christian should operate in, but if it doesn't come from a heart of love, it is of no profit. And we don't want that. And I do know people, I don't know them personally, but know of people who minister supposedly the word of God, but they do not do it from a position of love, from a foundation of love. And it's not what God desires. And I don't want to be, it talks about here, a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I'm going to put it to you this way. I don't want my Christian ministry to be like nails on a chalkboard. I don't want to function in faith without love. In fact, you know, verse 13 of this chapter says, now abide faith, hope, and love. So it is not one or the other. It is supposed to be both. And, in fact, it says, if I have all faith and I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And then it talks about, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So the social gospel without love for God and love for people, that's not going to merit any reward as either. By the way, you've got to keep the first commandment, because the first commandment makes the second commandment possible. So too many people are trying to love their neighbor as their self without that first commandment of loving God with all their heart. They compromise their love for God by loving people and in a inferior manner, I might add. And it's not what God's looking for. So verse number 4 begins to describe the nature of love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Another passage says that love does no harm. So there's a lot of identifying characteristics there, and it doesn't say that love is part of those things. Love, the way that God describes it, is all of those things. And so Paul goes on and writes about his development. You know, when he was a child, he spoke as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child. But when he became a man, he put away childish things. He goes on and in verse 12, "Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." So it's not love without faith. That doesn't do it. It's not faith without love. And it is not faith and love without confident expectation. Biblical hope is not wishful thinking. It is confident expectation that the things that God has said are the things that God's going to do. And my responsibility as a child of God is to live my life in such a way that when people have an expectation of me because of what I've committed to do, that I'm going to do that. So I always strive to be on time. I would say I'm successful about 90%+ of the time, probably closer to 100%. The reason that is because I don't wait till the last minute. I make sure that I leave with plenty of margin. If there is something that comes up, I make sure that I communicate with the people that I've told, "Hey, I'm going to be there." And then if something comes up, I say, "Well, you know, hey, I got stuck behind a train or something of that nature. Had a ministry emergency that came up." So because I want to represent well, and I don't want to discredit the one who loves me. And by the way, one of my favorite titles for God is the lover of my soul. I make sure I communicate with people, so I don't leave them in the dark, wondering what happened to me. I know that I don't like it when I'm wondering where people are and there's been no communication. And so I make sure that I sow those seeds. I read chapter 13 and, you know, to a large extent, there were a few verses I didn't read, because that brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 1, where it says this: "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." So love is absolutely essential. It's a non-negotiable. There's the word that I was looking for. And it is something that we are to pursue, something we are supposed to seek after, strive for, make every effort to attain, to put into practice. And I wonder, what are you chasing? You know, it's September. We're 2/3 of the way through 2026, as hard as that is to believe. The holidays are coming up rapidly. There are going to be events that you go to. There's going to be gifts that you buy. There's going to be wonderful family gatherings and things of that nature. What are you pursuing now? One of my favorite biblical examples of being a driven individual has to do with Jehu after he was anointed to be king and just immediately went out and set out to make that a reality as soon as possible. That when he was driving his chariot towards the current king, he sent out, the king sent an observer and said, you know, who is that? And the response was, I don't know who it is, but the driving is like the driving of Jehu. So they were able to identify who it was by the way that he had been accustomed to pursuing things, and now that was the way that he was pursuing this new anointing that God had upon his life. So I have the tendency to say this, you know, before Christ, we were all professional sinners. I've a lot of times there were people who were really driven to sin. And I want you to know that even if that was part of your past, you are not beyond the reach of the love of God. Right now, there are some people that were famous in other spheres of entertainment and social circles that I had nothing, no knowledge of them whatsoever. But they came to the end of that rope and said, you know what, this is not the place that I want to be. During some difficult seasons in their life, they had encounters with God and became believers, put their faith and trust in him. And, you know, I'm thankful that God loves, like Paul, even the chiefest of sinners. So here's what I tell my congregation, and that is this: if you were pursuing sin, if you were, you know, really good at it, you know, that's not one thing you want to be really good at. Is you don't want to be really good at sin. You want to be a really bad sinner. You know, I want to be such a bad liar that I don't even try to lie. I don't want to be good at any quality of sin. I want to be good at loving God. And so I want to pursue it. I want to chase after it. And so here you are. It's a Tuesday. And you and I have the decision every single day. What are we going to pursue? So I have some things on my agenda today that I will pursue. And I want to be good at loving God. I want to be good at loving people. I want to be good at preaching the word. I want to pursue a lifestyle of love that is in alignment with the Bible, not with the social or societal definition of love that many people would try and put out there, where you've got to approve and endorse and enable whatever a person thinks, because that's their definition of love. That is not. I was witness to a conversation one time where one person, it wasn't me. Okay. So it wasn't, you know, my wife, my kids, it wasn't anything like that. And a person said, you never told me that you loved me. And that was a statement they made to their parents. And the parents' response was, what do you mean we never told you that we love you? We told you we loved you all of the time. And my observation of that is that if a person told you that they loved you in English, but the person that they were communicating that to did not speak English, there would be a breakdown in communication there. And it really does help us to have conversations with one another to say, you know, what, how do you understand the communication of love? So my wife has worked full time for a long time now. She's coming up on her 25th anniversary with her company and that she works for. And so you couple that with being the parents of, you know, small children at the time, now they're all grown. You couple that with being a very active minister's wife, a pastor's wife, and she's not a wallflower. She's very active in ministry. And you know, then you got the house to keep, the house to clean and all of that sort of stuff. And there were times when I worked a full-time job and pastored full-time and parented full-time, and there was a whole lot of full-time things going on. Sometimes there wasn't enough time for Bob. And so I had to come to the place and say, okay, what can I do that would tell my wife that I love her in a way that she would really appreciate? You know, occasionally I buy her flowers. Flowers are really not her thing. For her, it was whenever I would, without making a big to-do over it, I would help with the dishes. It took a long time before we had a dishwasher. We had a couple of portable dishwashers. Those would work great for a while, but there was a lot of times where we had to wash dishes by hand because that was what we could afford with our budget. We just didn't have some of the luxuries that other people had, and so she may come home from work and I had found the, or I had washed the dishes, I'd done the laundry, I'd straightened up the house, and that was what spoke love to her. It really does help when we find out, hey, how can I express love for you? And remember, we're not just representing love from one person to another person. We're supposed to be representing the love of God. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Well, pursuing love is not the only thing that we're supposed to pursue. We're supposed to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And it goes on in chapter 14. It's not identifying the gifts. It is discussing the operation of spiritual giftings. And what we see here in verse number 1 is that we pursue love and desire spiritual gifts to use them for the benefit of the kingdom and to be a blessing to the people in the church and those that we come in contact with. So I want to make sure that as a pastor that I'm not operating from a dictatorial position. I want to minister from a position of love, so I am pursuing the heart of God so that when I minister to people, I do so with the love of God, but I also pursue the gifts that God has for me so that I can utilize them for the benefit of the body of Christ. I like to tell our congregation that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts that are talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, so all of this flows together in context, that those things are not merit badges. You know, if you were in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, we have Royal Rangers, and it used to be Missionettes. Now it's Girls Ministries. It was Impact Girls at one point in time. They've changed the name of, but they, if you accomplished a certain thing, they would give you a merit badge so that you could put it on your sash or on your uniform shirt. And too many times we tend to reduce the gifts that God bestows upon us by His Spirit to be used for the benefit of the body. And we get to thinking about, wow, this is something special to me. And here's what I've really found is that a lot of times when we are simply pursuing the heart of God and what God wants us to do, that we will be a blessing to other people because of God's spiritual gifts and not even know it, not even remember it. So if you go back and look in Matthew chapter 25, by the way, a lot of times people will look at the ministry to one another and make that something special. Well, let me tell you, Matthew chapter, I'm pretty sure it's Matthew chapter 25, and it talks about the sheep and the goats, and Jesus says, hey, come in the inner, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, listen to this, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Here's the thing. It was so supernaturally natural to them, they didn't even realize that they were doing anything extraordinary, but it hadn't escaped God's attention. I pray today that you and I will pursue biblical love and desire spiritual gifts to use it for the benefit of the body of Christ, to reach the lost, to edify the saints, and bring glory to Jesus. God bless you today. I hope you start off September pursuing love and desiring spiritual gifts. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.